Bottle Episode is a spirited podcast about spirituous libations. Those under their country's legal drinking age should turn off this podcast and go do their homework. Hey there, folks, and welcome to Bottle Episode, the professional bartender's guide for the cocktail enthusiast. I'm Lan.
And I'm Elise.
And we are here. It might sound a little different.
A little echoey. Maybe a little extra vibey.
Because we're here in a motel room.
Way to make it sound so sketchy.
I made it sound so weird. We're here at the Dive Motel.
It's a step up from a motel room.
Also, it's not... It's called a motel because it's like the vibiest.
Yeah,
it's way like you can take. But is a motel technically like it's in a?
It's definitely hotel? Like at this point, it's motel? Just a boutique hotel.
Yes,
that is like in the style of a motel, so it's not really a motel.
Yeah. Also, in order to be a motel, do you need to be able to drive up to your room?
I think so.
Because that's where the mo comes from.
Yeah.
Right? Mobile?
A motortel.
I never even thought of that.
There you go. Motortel.
Oh my God. And that makes so much sense now.
The third voice you hear.
Oh, sorry.
Welcome.
I was just introducing myself without even introducing myself. Sorry.
Wow. We've already learned something on this podcast. And now we're going to learn who you are.
Ex-coworker, ex-friend.
I introduced myself too early. Now I'm getting excommunicated.
Okay, are you going by Nick or Nikki now?
I could answer to either. I really don't
give a shit. Nicoletti Spaghetti is here.
That too, yeah. I really don't want to answer that one, but I will.
Yeah, I always called you Nikki because that's like really what you went by when we met, but you...
Yeah, and I could give you a reason as to why I went by that.
Yeah, give me... Oh, because we had a Nick.
Yeah, we already had a Nick.
We
when
had
I was
a Nick
going at... through my interview process... Okay, so we used to work together at Old Glory, also hi... Everyone.
Hi, hello.
I'm Nick.
Welcome to the podcast, friend of the pod. Dear friend, yeah. Nick.
Hello.
It's hello. Me. Fuck, I'm blanking on your last name.
My last name is Heard, which I think
that's what it is. Yeah.
Hilarious.
Nick Heard. Yeah.
But nobody actually, like, I don't use my last name on any social medias or anything.
Like, I was just like, for safety reasons. I was like, Nicolette Karen.
Because
that's your middle name.
It's my middle name, yeah. Mm. Which I think is funny. Like, tell me you're in the industry without telling me you're in the industry. Your middle name is Karen and your last name is Heard. Like, yeah. You're just set up to be habitual bartender for the rest of your life, I think.
I think so. But yeah, we used to work at Old Glory together.
Yeah.
You started like maybe a couple months after me. And then we worked a lot of shifts together, like just you and me.
I feel like we worked a lot of like, cause like I was coming in as a part-time person.
It was like Sundays were kind of our day, right?
It was like Sundays and I feel like Mondays, which are like the two slow days. But if anything, I find like working in bars, like those are sometimes the days that you make the most money because it's the least amount of staff.
Yeah. And also it was this nice, like I had a trend of working, like I would work like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then like one other day in the week.
Mm. Yeah.
So Sunday after Friday and Saturday, I'd be just getting my shit kicked in.
It was nice to have a little
reset. It was nice to have like a little respite. Yeah, yeah. It was like, we get to just kind of like have fun. Like industry folks come in, pals come in, and like we get to put the music on whatever the fuck we want.
Exactly. And like, actually have conversations with guests.
Yeah.
And we always ended up having like an emo night thing.
Yeah.
On Sundays.
And it was like this kind of unofficial emo night thing that you and I
just
stated and everybody else that worked at the bar hated.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. People would just be like, why are you playing this? We're like, because we like it.
We like it so much. Okay.
We have to work on a Sunday. Okay. Like, let us have a little bit.
I feel like,
let us have this one thing.
I also feel like there are probably few bars that like swing as much energy wise from like a Saturday night to a Sunday night.
100%.
Just because it's like, I feel like anytime I was there on a Saturday, it was like people are
literally from being like
aerial dancing
like,
on the ceiling.
Yeah.
Or something. And then it's like chill and intimate and like glowy and like so.
It literally goes from being like this really low
like,
key,
is this a
like
carnival,
like super, like hyper vibey cocktail bar to being a full on club.
Yeah,
like
that's what I loved about it.
And which
I,
was really
honestly,
fun.
I learned to love that about it as well because it was just like, oh holy shit! Like I'm really like. At the time, I think I wanted something that like moved a little bit slower, but I was also just like, oh yeah, but Friday and Saturday are the money makers. Like we just make, like we make money hand over fist on Fridays and Saturdays, and the rest of the weeks, like, or the rest of the days, like it's like, all right, well, if we break $100, that's great.
Yeah. Like, it was definitely like, it's one of those spots that was like, oh, a date night spot on the weekdays.
Yeah.
And one
of
those places that like, especially if you're like taking somewhere, someone on a first date, like, ooh, it looks really
cool.
You
want to know where our first date was?
It was our first date. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so cute. I love that.
Yeah. I'm
also
going to
turn
this
all down just a little bit because we are like.
Yeah.
Like, are we getting real animated?
I think we're clipping.
Yeah.
But like it was.
I used to live on that street.
Yeah. And because you weren't sure whether or not it was a date. You were like.
I feel like if you're taking someone to Old Glory for the first time, that sounds like
okay.
a date to
well,
me.
She suggested
I did because
it.
Because I lived on that street and then I didn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah. I asked her out and she
and
was like, this could just be hanging out with my friend Lan or it could be a date, but this is really close to my house. And I was like, oh my shit, oh my God, she's so cool. She knows about this place. I've never even heard of this place before because I hadn't. And I didn't know like where to find it or anything. And she was like, I'll meet you out front because.
Relatively new at that time?
I think it was pretty new
probably.
At that point. It was, yeah. I mean,
because it was like 2017.
Yeah, I think it opened in 2016.
So I think it was maybe.
It was either
2015
or 2016.
Yeah. I mean, like, wait, when did you start there?
I worked from 2018 to 2019, August to August. You started not long after me, and that was my first like real cocktail bar job. And you know what? The more distance I get from it, the more I realize just like how good I had it there.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was just like a good bar to work with and a good team. And I feel like the team we had at that point
was phenomenal.
Was just incredible.
It's easily one of my favorite bar teams that I've ever worked with.
You,
to this day.
Me. Will Goodwin, who I ran into
today.
So
crazy.
Bizarre. What are the odds?
Nick Barry, Zach Beacon, who's famous now.
Yeah. And episode, number? Like,
number three or four.
Early on.
It was early on.
Yeah.
That you guys had him on.
But he did the old fashioned episode and he's like famous now. He recorded, it was either Emily or Zach who recorded an episode with y'all the same day because
it was Emily actually.
It was Emily, yeah.
Because they record her and John Pete, shout out.
Yeah.
Like we'll bring a bit of a
I don't have a shout out noise, but that's the closest thing I got.
They recorded an episode with you guys earlier in the day, and then Emily came and recorded an episode with us, and that was one of our first episodes.
Yeah.
For those of you that obviously don't know me, we haven't even talked about me at all yet, but I do also have a podcast.
We made the mistake of going out and having drinks before this. So, but yeah, Nick has a podcast as well.
Yeah.
What's your podcast?
Wasted Truth.
It's called Wasted Truth. And it's me and my friend Jill. And we're on a little bit of a hiatus right now.
And you're on your second Jill.
I'm on my second Jill. I've got, clearly, I'm just running through Jill's like nobody's business. But
wait, were there different ones?
There's two different Jills. Yeah. So first season was Jill Wolf, and she and I used to work together at Old Glory.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jill started like right before I left. At Old Glory.
Okay. And then she went and got herself knocked up, so she had to take herself out of the equation. And then my other friend Jill.
That's so
funny. Jill Schuller stepped up to the plate, and then she became the next Jill. And I was like, are you telling me I don't have to change the logo to my podcast?
Yeah.
Say motherfucking less. So, so we've done a second season, and then we, the network that we were on just disbanded. So we're on a bit of a hiatus. We're trying to figure it out, but it's similar vibes to you guys. Obviously, we just tend to get more drunk and just like shit talk. And
it was really fun because I was on an episode when I was here back in July of last year, and it was fun to just kind of like kick back and like unbutton a little bit because we do try to keep it like, you know, we try to keep it fun and whatever, but like, you know, we try to keep it light over here, but
you guys definitely get more technical and like,
yeah, we get a little bit more technical kind of stuff. About
and
it.
I feel like mine is definitely a bit more just shooting the shit and just kind of off the cuff and which I feel like this episode might turn into just because of me as a person.
But again, I'm also not an industry person.
When we talk to Nashville people, our episodes are always like 3 hours long.
And it's like,
we get so hammered.
Yeah, by the end of it.
Nick Dolan, who did our daiquiri episode, mm-hmm. whose bar we were just at. Like, I feel like he and I both just kept racing off during our episode to do shots.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
And so that was
got people reaching out like that episode.
Just went off
got
the rails.
So silly.
Yeah.
Where I was like, yeah.
It happened.
Can't imagine why.
I mean, this crew like of just Nashville folks that we've just surrounded ourselves with over the years, I think are just they know their shit, but they could also just be just as insane and dumb as the tourists that come into town. So I feel like it's a really fun, happy medium
of
like
run for their money.
Absolutely. And like, we're the ones that can handle our liquor. We can hold our liquor.
Yeah.
Like, there's no comparison.
I would stack, but in terms of just like know-how, I would stack like the folks I've met in Nashville, I would stack up against anybody in the fucking world as far as like technical know-how and like creativity and just like execution of cocktails. Like it's Nashville is a really, really special place. In the cocktail world, I think.
Yeah.
Like having been a lot of places, I think that Nashville, for the size of the city, there are more good cocktails per capita here than like anywhere else I've been.
Or just like decent. Like you're not going to get something and be like, oh.
Yeah.
Like it'll just be like, yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's good.
It does its good job, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
No. Yeah. I've always wondered because I've only ever really done cocktail here and I've never experienced that anywhere else. I've never lived anywhere else. I moved here when I was 19 and I bartended before when I moved here from Jacksonville, Florida. And I worked at like a divey beach bar there and I was a air quotes bartender there, but it was literally just like beer and like frozen drinks and like a shitty sangria out of a bucket. Like, and so that's what I grew up on and like was used to. And then moving here and doing that kind of stuff. And I came, like the bar that I worked at before I worked at Old Glory was, it was a two-parter, I guess. I started at this bar, another RIP bar called Two Bits, which was on Demumbrian, owned by the same people as
I remember
Tin
it.
Roof.
I never went, but I knew about it.
And Tin Roof created that spot trying to make it like a hot, like a more cocktail focused, more cocktail centric bar, but like on Demumbrian, which is a very complete antithesis.
Yeah, the worst, like honestly, maybe the worst spot in Nashville to open up a cocktail bar.
Yeah, and so they tried so hard for a long time, and then and so that's where I started, and I got like my basics there, and then I ended up it just turned into another high volume kind of next door neighbor to Tin Roof, and like, you know, we just turned into a Tin Roof pretty much, and so then I started working at Tin Roof, and that's where I got all my high volume bartending experience. Which is completely so different than like just the normal craft cocktail, like cocktail experience.
Yeah.
So it's nice to know that I can kind of work
both.
Yeah. Any end of the spectrum when it comes to bartending.
Totally.
And so that helped kind of get me into, which was then Old Glory. And that's when I started there. And that was a nice, I think, happy medium of high volume.
It's a really weird,
cocktail.
Really nice, happy medium. As far as like bartending goes, where you really do get to experience both ends of the spectrum. And I'll tell you what, something I took for granted, like super, super took for granted. And eventually we should probably get to the cocktail that we're talking about
today.
We're
almost finished with it.
Yeah. I've already finished mine.
Just kidding. I've been going slow.
But like the hard, hard work that Michelle puts into that program.
Oh, 100%.
Like, not only is she one of the best cocktail creators, I think, on the planet, like, everything she does is so on point. Her mastery of flavor as a non-bartender.
Oh yeah, and has no interest in being a bartender at all. She's not a bartender. The funniest part.
She's like a chemical engineer, right?
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, like she super scientific brain.
Yeah, like she just got bored with it and then started working with Lex, mm-hmm. and like started working at 308, and then now she's like she.
Big into the food industry before. So she always had that palate. Yeah. And so it's really fun to be able to like take from the food industry and then and incorporate it into a cocktail. I think it's so fascinating. And that's what like certain bars do so well.
And she's extremely good at it. And she's like extremely good at like cocktail creation. Mm-hmm. And she's super precise with her cocktail batching as well, which is what she primarily did for us at Old Glory.
Yeah.
But she also is just like, every cocktail I've ever had of hers has been impeccable and so cool.
Definitely.
Like not just really good, but like out there, wild and like beautifully balanced. Mm-hmm. Like she's just such a, like I took that for granted because I just didn't know anything else. Mm-hmm. And now having been a lot of other places and worked at a lot of other places, it's like, oh, that was special. Mm-hmm. Like that was special and like singular to Old Glory.
Definitely. I'm still using her. So like I'm no longer at Old Glory. I'm at a kind of a, I would say like a sister bar, again, air quotes around
same,
that.
Same ownership.
Similar
ownership.
Yeah. One of the owners of Old Glory also has stake in this other bar that I work at now called Flamingo, which is still another like cocktail bar, definitely more nightclub-y.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. More days of the week. And more of like a live venue.
Miami nightclub.
Miami.
Vibe.
Yeah.
It's with cocktails.
Exactly. And so I work there now and I've been there over a year and a half and similar vibes, but like now I feel like in the jobs that I've worked at since working at Old Glory with the whole batching and which I feel like has become kind of a new thing to a lot of cocktail bars, especially when it comes to high volume versus just like casual cocktail bar. I feel like I'm very familiar with the whole batching concept of stuff now, which is what I was kind of first introduced to. And I feel like I still go to Michelle all the time with like, hey, can you help me? I'm trying to batch this out. Like, tell me what exactly. Mm. Like, and so she's always just like a wealth of knowledge when it comes to that, which is really cool. Yeah.
Also just like extremely kind.
Oh, just the just nicest a good person ever. Yeah. Yeah. Just one of those angels.
Yeah.
Like you meet those people that are just like just good energies all around. We love that.
So we're drinking a cocktail tonight.
Oh, yeah.
We are.
Yeah. Bringing it to a cocktail.
It might be clear that we've had a couple already, but we are drinking a cocktail tonight. We are 20 minutes into the podcast.
Oh, we'll probably edit some stuff out. We've been talking
maybe
some
a
dumb
little
shit.
Bit.
Not if Lan's editing.
Not if I'm editing. I'll be like, this is good shit.
This is great.
This is all good.
This is all gold.
Oh, this sounds amazing.
This is all gold, and I have to be so at work funny. In 20 minutes.
Sounds good to me. Put it on the line.
Anyway,
I've chosen.
That does happen.
Yeah. What cocktail did you
choose? What did you choose?
I have chosen the Hanky Panky.
Which is,
I think, the cutest name to anything ever. Like, and it's also could be like very innuendo-y. Be like, had a couple of those, and I went and did some hanky panky later.
I had a couple different kinds.
I had
of
a hanky panky, and then I did.
I don't know. I don't know why I became a Southern Belle when I did. I had a couple different kinds of hanky panky,
and I became
last
like
night.
Elvis or something.
Oh,
it was giving Elvis
hanky panky.
So I feel like the hanky panky is kind of like a riff on a Martinez.
Yeah.
So it's
so.
Gin and sweet vermouth and orange bitters, but with an added twist of Fernet. Fernet instead of like I don't know, like what? How would
just
you describe
Fernet as like I think Fernet instead of like any other kind of. Bitter, like obviously there's like orange bitters in there,
yeah,
but like
just like extra
I think
sauce
Fernet basically as bitters
yeah
in
as the
this
bitter
cocktails
thing. Yeah
in this cocktail it's a cool one and it does you're right, it does drink like a Martinez. I think it's also like a nice little like if you up the Fernet content, because I've seen like multiple iterations of this cocktail with like more or less Fernet, but if you up the Fernet a little bit, it becomes kind of a Negroni riff as well. Mm-hmm. I think that it kind of like plays, it kind of bridges that gap between the Martinez and the Negroni.
Wait, so what is a Martinez?
Martinez is like a martini meets a Manhattan. So it's actually the precursor to both of those drinks. The Martinez came first. It's two parts gin to one part sweet vermouth.
So sweet vermouth instead of dry vermouth.
Sweet vermouth instead of dry vermouth.
Gotcha.
And again, it did come before the martini did. And I'm pretty sure it came before the Manhattan as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I'm learning.
Is that where martini comes from?
I believe so.
They're like, it's little.
Yeah.
we're gonna change this a little bit, but like, so it's not gonna be an S anymore. It's gonna be like an E.
Little cute one.
It's a martini because it's lighter flavors, so it must be for girls.
Oh, obviously.
Which, like, I do feel like the martini is like the classic, like, I don't know.
What, a girly drink because it comes in a stemmed glass?
No, like, I feel
you
like it's...
You fucking misogynist.
Well, okay, no. I feel like, no.
That's Elise is getting canceled.
No, you know how I feel.
I'm just giving you shit.
About manly hands needing a stemmed glass so they don't
big,
warm
strong,
up there.
Big, strong, manly hands.
Just, yeah, of course.
My hands are so hot and big.
But I do think it is... I like, martini, James Bond, spies.
Of course.
But then it's like... it's martini
because it's so teeny.
Yeah,
like it's so cute.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna have a little martini. Oh my god, that was
Lynn is really bringing out his voice actor. In this episode.
I'm dead.
I'm just gonna have two little martini.
Is that how guys feel when they feel like they're ordering a stemmed glass and they get all scared?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they think they sound like when they're oh, I don't want it in that glass. Can I have like a more manly glass?
Can I have a Manhattan?
Up! Up with a cherry!
The fact that you're just doing that without any like fucking computer shit like is blowing my mind. I don't understand.
Welcome
you could just do that.
To my life all the time.
Do
and
you
then,
feel like you're having multiple conversations with multiple people
no,
every day?
No, I'll be like... Can you? I need
can you
land
please
back.
Stop?
Please stop. Can we just talk for a second?
We're having a serious conversation.
We're trying
here.
To decide where we're going for dinner. I'm hungry.
And I'm like,
what do you mean you need space?
And I'm like,
what do you mean you need space?
I was like, and I'm like, that was funny like 5 minutes ago. And now,
and now the bit's over. So
you
let's
want
move
a bro?
On. Oh yeah. My god, it's almost turning into that right now.
Yeah, yeah. So we're like, all right, okay, moving on. Everyone has stopped listening.
Bringing it back to the hanky panky.
I'm
anyway, back to the hanky panky.
I'll edit this and I'll be like, anyone who's annoyed can just skip hit that 15 second button like 3 times.
Yeah.
Apologies.
It happens.
You heard it here first, folks. Elise offered to edit this episode.
No, oh, fuck. No.
It's on the record now. Oh, no.
She said it.
Maybe I'll edit one
part. I'll give you $20.
I need, like,
I know
per
that
hour
we share a bank account, but I'll give you $20.
Give 20 favors.
Yeah.
Ooh. Sexy.
Speaking of
Oh, yeah.
Hey babe, I'll give you 20 favors.
I know we're in your motel room, but I will leave after this. You could cash one of those in right now after this if you want. No
anyway.
Judgment here. Where were we?
I don't
Hanky
know.
Panky. I mentioned this when we were talking about it a little bit earlier because you didn't choose a cocktail until we were at the bar earlier.
Yeah.
Which I'm not salty about. I'm truly not. Because
you did.
Like,
you were like, "What did you do today?" I was like, "I worked," and kept asking. I'm like, "Do we pick a cocktail yet?" I'm like, "What's a cocktail?"
I like to keep people on their toes. All right.
Well, and also like because we are staying at a hotel that has a decent bar downstairs. I was like, doesn't really matter what she wants to do. Like,
yeah.
We can just order it at the bar and bring it up to the room. So we did that. And it worked out just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And our bartender made a delicious hanky panky, and I'm happy with it. And
really
I'm happy
unique.
With
the one thing I will say. I mean, I think it's the whole drinking out of a plastic coupe is throwing me off a little bit. And you don't realize how much of an effect it has on a cocktail until you're actually drinking it. But again,
which, safe to drink by a pool.
Exactly.
Maybe
so,
if we were by a pool, it would be better.
The
if
dive is known
30,
for its pool.
If it wasn't 35 degrees,
so they have
out.
Plastic glassware.
Yeah.
So
if we get really riled up after this, we could just chuck it against a wall and nothing will happen.
And nothing will happen. But some interesting points about the hanky-panky. It is one of the earliest cocktails that is documented that is invented by a woman.
And we love that.
And we love
Hell
that.
Yeah.
We love that a lot.
Ada Coleman.
Yes.
A bartender at the Savoy in London came up with this cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
And it is delicious.
I think it's a really fun, easy way to like get your, if you want like something like slightly bitter, not as much as a Negroni, because I feel like that throws a lot of people off.
Totally.
But you don't want something as like super potent as like just a straight martini. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a really fun intermediate.
I really like it. Because like I don't.
And I think
it's drinks. I feel like a little lighter
it
than
does.
A martini, but like, and then it's not as like heavy or like, yeah, bitter as a Negroni.
Exactly.
It's like an unserious Negroni.
It is.
And it's definitely more booze content than a Negroni. And like about the same as a martini. However,
it drinks easier.
It drinks easier. Mm-hmm. And I think that it does. I think I like it better than a Martinez because it's just got a little bit more going on.
Mm-hmm.
I find Martinez's can be just a little bit saccharine for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Hanky Panky, because of the Fernet and because of the bitterness of the Fernet, and like the herbaceousness of it.
Yeah.
I think it just brings an element that not only highlights the gin, but also kind of like cuts through the sweet vermouth, mm-hmm. which I can find a little bit cloying in a cocktail.
Yeah.
Like a Martinez. So it's a nice middle ground, I think, between like the Negroni and the Martini.
And I mean, and we all know me and how much I am obsessed with Fernet. So obviously I just had to have a Fernet cocktail. As my cocktail for this episode.
I will say I love this is going to make it sound really bad, but this is like honestly what I love in a cocktail. Like I love a cocktail that tastes like a cough drop, like a good cough drop. And like it tastes like
we're not talking about no halls here. We're talking about Ricola.
A Ricola. Like it tastes like a Ricola, like good ass cough drop. And
but
I
in,
like,
a, in a good
like,
way.
The medicinal in the best way. I'll want another one.
I always feel that way when I talk about green chartreuse, because I'm like, I think green chartreuse tastes like freshly mown grass, but like in the best way.
Yeah. Like, I think that Sauvignon Blanc tastes like New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc tastes like freshly mown grass. And I love that. And that's why I love the most basic wine order.
Oh, we love a basic wine order.
Yeah.
We love
a
basic bitch order. And I will go on record and say, like, when it comes to cocktailing and, like, when people come to the bar and they are embarrassed to order something, like...
Nobody should be embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed ever. So, like, yes, order your shitty New Zealand...
I love a New Zealand screw top Sauv Blanc. It's like one of my favorite things.
Give me barefoot or give me death. It's fine. Like, no, but
no, it's good. And I feel like, okay, this is one thing.
Don't you put those words in my mouth. Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Sometimes people like will almost apologize to me. Because they know like I have a podcast, like we're in like cocktails all the time.
Yeah.
Whatever. And I'll be like, no,
I'm so sorry. I'm ordering.
Do it. Like, no, I'm not like, why would I ever? Why would I judge that?
Yeah.
I'm like, do you like it?
Then have
you
it.
You should
get what you
more
like.
More of them.
I've that's always been my thing for the longest time. Because like, especially when people walk into spaces like Old Glory or like Roosevelt Room, like, and they just feel like they should need to order like this really fancy
people
different
so
cocktail
intimidated.
That they've never even had before or have no prior knowledge of, and they're just like, oh, I should get this because I should drink a martini here because it's a fancy room.
Yeah.
Let me order it so I feel like I deserve to be here. Bitch, if you want a vodka soda, order a vodka soda.
Absolutely.
Like, but, if that's what you like.
It's your signature order. It's
exactly.
not your basic bitch order.
And so
it's your drink.
It's a basic bitch order for a reason because, yes, it's very well known and very well liked. That doesn't mean... that like it's obviously well known and well liked for a reason. It's popular. People love it. People always like are embarrassed to order espresso martinis and shit like that. Like in my mind, I'm like, so people that like, if you're ordering something that's incredibly basic or what have you, like obviously it's popular for a reason. And like, and if you like it, get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't
also like don't order something because you feel like you have to. Because
I get what you want.
And I think as a bartender, I've learned to notice like, okay.
If people feel intimidated being there,
well,
they don't know enough about cocktails.
There are the folks that come in and they feel intimidated and they don't, and they feel like they need to order something that they may or may not be interested in actually ordering because of the space that they're in. And then there are the people who come in and are like, I'm at this new place and I'm kind of like interested in trying something new.
And there,
and there's like some people that want to push their boundaries, and there are some folks that like are intimidated and feel like they have to.
Yeah.
And I think that part of being a good bartender is noticing the difference.
Exactly. And being able to talk them through and figuring out what they want.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And coming together and having a nice conversation and being like, okay, so like these are the drinks that you normally order. These are things, these are the flavor profiles that you like. We can work together to get you your best drink possible and have the best experience in here and not feel uncomfortable coming in here again.
Yeah. If you're open to that, like it do, like you don't have to like, and I think that that's something that's important for us to do is like give people permission to order what they want.
Yeah.
Like if you want a vodka soda, like at a cocktail bar, it's not taboo to order that. And I think people think it is, but it's not. Like just order what you want. And then like, but if you want to branch out, like, and I've told people this before, where it's like, you can order your vodka soda and I will make it. Like, I really, really don't mind making it. It sounds like that's kind of what you want. But if you do want to branch out, if you do want to try something new, I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you figure out what it is you want.
Mm-hmm.
It may be something on the menu. It may not be something on the menu. It could be just a classic cocktail that I think you would really vibe with, but I'm here to help you figure out what that is.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad for whatever it is you want to do though. Like if that's too much for you, if that's like not the vibe you're feeling tonight, then like order your vodka soda. It's a really easy drink to make and I don't mind making it.
I was like, please order more vodka sodas. Yeah. It makes my job so much easier.
I just like where I'm at currently, like a daydreamer. It's like, I just made 5 Ramos Gin Fizzes in a row. I'll make a vodka soda happily.
Please. Like, please do not feel embarrassed to order that drink ever. Like it. Yeah.
I just had a group that came up and ordered 5 Ramos Gin Fizzes.
You poor
all
thing.
Together. Yeah. Like I can handle a vodka soda right about now.
And I will not huff and puff about it.
Not even a little bit. Like I would never dare.
Yeah, which you guys do have like little machines.
Yeah,
for that.
We have a
so
way
it's
to make
like
it pretty
set
quickly.
Up as like a specialty. So it, that's not like
damn.
That's
so it's
not
on the menu.
An
it's
insane on the menu. Thing for people to order.
Oh, no, it's not insane, but it's still
be like, who the fuck are these 5 people?
It's definitely
the audacity.
It's not like an insane order. But it is.
But if
like,
5 people order the, all of them, unless like
I can make 2 per 10.
Okay.
But it's like, but it's still just like, even though it's not that hard for us to make it, and we don't shake our Ramos Gin Fizzes.
Yeah,
we
you have. Like, yeah, yeah.
We have like a little spindle mixer machine that does it for us. But you still have to like put it in the fridge to settle, and like it still takes extra time.
There's care involved in that drink.
There's still care involved in the drink. You know, like it's still like 8 touches before you even get like before you even put ice in the tin. Like it's you still have to crack an egg. You have to get the egg white out. Oh shit, there's you like and I've gotten way like I've been out of practice cracking eggs because at Roosevelt Room we had pre-batched egg white.
Gotcha.
But at Daydreamer we crack our eggs to order. So, like, I had to get better about, like, cracking eggs again. And it had been a while, so it was like...
It's been
oh,
a hot
shit,
minute for me, too.
There's shell in my tin. I have to figure out how to get that out. Oh, no, just a tiny bit of yolk dripped in. Got to fully redo it. Like, all of these things. And it always happens when I'm cracking, like, multiple eggs.
Mm-hmm.
For,
of course.
Like, I have
it's
three,
always the last egg.
I have, like, 3 or 4 Ramos Gin Fizzes to make, and I'm cracking, like... The second one in the tin that I'm cracking into.
Yeah. And you get overconfident because you've already cracked 4 and you're like, oh, fucking killing it right now. This is the last one. And then you're like,
oh no. Oh. Somehow the yolk came out before the white. Yeah, oh no.
Exactly.
Somehow I'm just holding the white and the yolk and the shell are all in there.
What are the odds?
Like very basically impossible.
When you do that, do you always do the egg first before any other ingredients?
I do egg first before any ingredients. Okay. And if I'm not feeling super solid about my egg cracking ability, I will crack each individual egg into individual tins.
Mm.
Like I build the entire Ramos in the large tin.
And then you'll combine them and then shake?
I'll build the entire Ramos in the large tin and then I'll stick some crushed ice in there and then I'll put it on the mixer.
Yeah.
if I'm making two, I do the same thing. If I'm feeling confident about my egg cracking ability, I'll build two, like I'll crack two eggs in the same tin and then go from there. But if I've like had some mishaps, then I'll pull out the big tin and the small tin. I'll crack one egg in the big tin and one egg in the small tin just to be sure.
Gotcha. It's been honest. Now that I think about it, it's been so long since I've cracked eggs for a cocktail. Cause I think it was Old Glory pre COVID. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We used eggs to order for any of our, we didn't do any really, I don't think I ever made a Ramos Gin Fizz there, but like any sours or whatnot. Did. Yeah, you did because you like to do it.
Yeah.
If somebody ordered it for me, like especially on a Saturday night, it'd be like, we're out of eggs.
No.
No, I never did that. What?
Don't if anybody's stuff for this.
I'm a good bartender, I promise. But since COVID, because there was so much manhandling when it came to that stuff, we nixed real eggs and we just went to the, you know, like egg whites that you'd
like store-bought.
Yeah, store-bought, like in a container, put it in a squeeze bottle, good to go. And now I work at a fully vegan bar. Mm. So we don't even have
do
eggs
like
in house.
Aquafaba.
So we kept trying to, obviously there's so many opportunities to use aquafaba in drinks and we did a lot of Old Glory when it came to batching, but we didn't use enough chickpeas in-house or like any kind of chickpea or aquafaba stuff that we buy like off the shelf or like online.
Yeah.
We had
one aquafaba cocktail at Old Glory right before I left, I think.
Was it that mixed berry one? I feel like that was the aquafaba.
I can't
drink.
Remember.
Oh, it's been too long.
It's been a minute. I only remember I like a couple the of the drinks that we made there. I remember the, shit, what was it called? it was the drink actually predated either of our time there.
Okay.
But it was one that Megan had created and it was like coconut cream and celery bitters with like vodka or gin.
I know exactly.
It
what
was
you're
so
about,
good and people ordered it all the time.
I'm gonna remember it later and it's gonna bother me.
I
right
don't
now,
remember
but I
what
can't.
It was called.
I'm gonna text some people after this and be like, okay, what the fuck was that drink called?
Like, I want to say it was called like Velvet something. Or
Velvet
something.
Frost.
Velvet Frost. Fuck yeah. Thank you.
That drink was delicious, but it was also a bitch to make if it wasn't batched because that was like an easily like 8 to 10 touch cocktail, depending on what we had.
It was a big cocktail to make. And one issue that I always had with our glassware there was that we just like, we would make these drinks that had like a bunch of ingredients and then like put them in these tiny coupes.
Yeah.
And they just like always overflowed.
And especially.
And I was also like a new bartender and I didn't know that I could just like not put the whole thing in there.
So you would just overflow it every time. It'd just be spilling off the side.
Yeah.
And then you're handing it to someone.
I got so nervous.
That would be standing.
What can we do about this? That feels like I think we should leave. Like,
I don't know how to keep this glass from overflowing.
Every time I pour it, I just like, it goes over.
Maybe do less. I don't know what to tell you.
How do you stop?
I remember I also like, did try to convince Lex to buy like 7 ounce coupes.
We need to. How'd that go over?
It went over fine. It never happened. It never happened, but
I'm sure your argument was strong, but
yeah,
not we'll as strong probably, as I'll Lex's probably. Volition.
I can't stop pouring. It's so hard.
Well, I think like Baby Bartender Land was also worried that people were going to be like, but what about the rest of it?
My drink is spilling over. I need more.
Well, that's when it comes to like sidecars and stuff like that. Yeah. And we love those for bars that aren't places like Old Glory and Flamingo. Yeah. So yeah, that's the one thing. But we use Fee Foamer.
Fee Foamer?
As like an egg. It's a type of bitter that is like, it's an egg white substitute. It's a bitter.
We made our own foam tincture.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'm intrigued.
So it was called like, it was Quillea saponaria tincture.
Oh.
Quillea saponaria is from like the Quillea tree or like the cork tree, something like that. But it's basically made from the bark of that tree. And it is like the same stuff that they use in foaming hand soap, but it's food safe. So we would make a tincture out of it.
Gotcha.
And like, we didn't use it as an egg white replacer, but we used it in our shaken drinks to just always have like a really nice consistent head.
Yeah. And we love that. But yeah, we love nice, consistent head.
We love nice, consistent head.
Hey.
There's one thing on any podcast that I'm on, I'm going to make it sexual. Just why do you think I chose the hanky panky? Yeah. But yeah, those are the things that we used at Flamingo to make things vegan, which I think is funny.
Yeah.
Because I do feel bad. There's so many times that people come in and they like ask for like a legit egg white sour and we can't. And there's no way to fully, you know, like Acafaba would definitely be the next best thing if you're going fully vegan.
Yeah.
But in the volume that we create our cocktails, Fee Foamer tends to be the best thing to do.
We use Fee Foam for our, we have like a nitro espresso martini. Mm. With the nitro, like we have a nitro machine that like pulls nitrous from the air.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do quite as good a job as like advertised. So we add a little bit of Fee Foam just to like make it a bit like a more consistent.
I also did that at Good Times. I helped open another bar that I'm also still working at Good Times. And we had a nitro espresso martini and we found the same issue. Like it looked good for about 2 seconds. And then it would immediately dissipate. And so I would just go ahead and I always took the initiative to just give it a couple extra shakes. It didn't do any extra dilution or anything, but it would just give that nice head. So you could be able to put the cute little espresso beans on it and make it look Instagrammable. Because I feel like my big thing is there are so many times, especially when I was at Old Glory and I ran the social media for a couple of years, like it was always the most bothersome thing ever is if a drink, like if it's not pretty or like it could taste amazing.
Yeah.
But like, and be amazing. Like it could be the best cocktail you've ever had in your entire life. But if like you are not giving that extra 20 seconds to make it look nice and presentable and beautiful, because you know, like we're living in the social media world, like everybody wants to take a photo of their cocktail and in the beautiful space that like these bars create, like to make everything look Instagrammable and nice, like you want your cocktails to look the same and taste the same. Mm-hmm. But it was always so annoying, like whenever I'd like somebody would tag like the bar in whatever drink and I'd be like, that mint looks like shit, or like that head is garbage on that shaken egg white cocktail, like, and you could just tell and you're just embarrassed by that. And like it also does come back to the, you know, the guest that is taking that photo, like how long was that drink sitting there before you took that photo? Yeah.
How many sips did they take?
Yeah,
how
much
did they take the straw for a drink that didn't need, like a crushed ice drink that didn't need to be incorporated and go like
it does. There's a lot of instances where yes, you have to, you know, fault the photographer. But it is frustrating a lot of the time. Yeah. And you want to make a nice drink.
No, for sure.
That is as tasty.
I will say my basic bitch order is when there's there's no guilty pleasures. I will order as many espresso martinis as I fucking want.
Oh.
But when I see a drink and I'm like, ooh, pretty. I'll have
ooh, what's please. That? We were just making this joke the other night, like trying to be like, okay, like how do we be the most like annoying people that are sitting at your well? Like if you're like have like a front facing bar and your well is in the front and you're like just being those annoying ass guests. And like they're not annoying, but like there's sometimes they are. It's ridiculous when every single drink that you're making and they're just like, what's that drink?
Ooh, it's that.
What's that drink? What's that?
Yeah. It has to be really pretty.
It has to be pretty.
Well, and then I'd be like, okay, oh, that's the thing with it.
But also,
isn't that like the blue drink?
What is your quote unquote basic bitch order?
I mean, I do love an espresso martini.
Yeah.
The only time that I do genuinely feel guilty about ordering one is if like they have to like hand pull the espresso shot to order.
To order.
That's when I feel like an asshole, and I don't think I would ever do that. I feel like there was one time in Vegas, I can't remember what bar was at, but it was a cocktail bar in Vegas, and I ordered one because we had like just finished this big ass meal and I like it was like so much pasta and shit. And I was like, I'm about to die right here. I need an espresso martini to wake up. And like the poor bartender like had to just go around the bar and like, and the espresso machine wasn't working or they were like out of something and like he just looked flustered and I felt awful. But you know, it's on the menu, so I can't, like, in my mind, like if an espresso martini is on the menu, like you have to know what you're getting into when you're working. So
totally.
Like, yeah. But
what is yours?
Like, I mean, again, like I love an espresso martini.
Yours is a piña colada.
Oh, I love a piña colada. Yeah. Or like any, that's my other thing.
A frozen
is like
cocktail.
If a place has a frozen, kind of want it.
Okay, but
and
like
probably will get it.
There is the difference though between like, okay, so are they like blending it to order or is it like in one of those machines?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, if it's in a machine, I'll order
and
that shit all day.
And then that's also easy and I'm like, that's fast. You just have to pour that.
Exactly.
So easy.
See a frozen, get a frozen.
Exactly.
I'm like, I want that.
Oh my God, put that on a t-shirt. Like,
yeah, see a frozen, get a frozen.
Like, and in Austin, like, it,
almost
any
every
bar
place.
Worth its like most every single bar worth its salt has like if you've got a patio you have to have it frozen.
Makes sense.
Most places
100%
do, and then yeah, then I'm like, well, I kind of want a little treat, and then I'll get that
because that's what like
what is your frozen? I will have it. Yes, please.
That's
what is your frozen?
Like,
you don't answer that. I'll take it.
You have two.
Do you want to blend them together?
Can I have a little swirl? I don't know what my basic bitch order would be.
I would say frozen is definitely up there. If it's if it's in a machine,
I can't
I'm taking one.
Help it.
I mean like I gravitate towards martini riffs like immediately.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm just like so sophisticated, but I like I don't know if I have like a basic bitch order.
I could just tell you what my basic order is in general. Like even when I'm going to cocktail bars and stuff, I'm a beer and a shot girl through and through.
I'm definitely a beer and a shot girl as well.
Yeah. And I always will be.
Yeah. But like if I'm going to a cocktail bar, like I'm a beer and shot girly when I like want, like when I go to a dive or something like that, it's rare that I go to a cocktail bar and order a beer and a shot unless I'm like, I've already been in like two other cocktail bars tonight and I'm kind of cocktailed out.
Yeah.
I'll have a beer and a shot because like that's what I have the bandwidth for.
Mm-hmm. I think my other like basic, it's not even a basic bitch cocktail, but it's like the cocktail that I always feel like it's very hard to fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if I've already had a couple cocktails or I'm like finished and I still want a cocktail, but like none of the things on the menu are like really vibing with me. Like it's a Negroni and that's just what I order. And I would always, with my ex, who's like also a big cocktail person, like whenever we'd be going out, I would just get a Negroni at a cocktail bar and he'd be like, just get something on the menu. Just like try something new. Like you can make a Negroni at home. And I'd always be like, but I just really want a Negroni right now. Like I want to order what I want to order.
Order
okay?
What you want to order.
Which Negronis, my sister.
That's why he's her ex.
My
sister. You're here first.
Yeah, that's why we broke up. It's because he judged my cocktail order every time we went.
Only
out.
Reason, with zero context as to your relationship, I'm going to go ahead and diagnose
if that was
it
the
there.
If that was the reason why we broke up, that'd be very mid.
But also, like
basic bitch breakup.
Yeah, it was a very basic. No, like oh god, could you imagine? Yeah, we're for those of all listening, we are very cool. It's fine. Like no bad blood. Like, how's it going?
You up?
He's not in Nashville currently, so no, I can't do that.
He's not up.
Damn. Do we want to get another cocktail?
Oh, are we taking a break? And
yeah,
a
let's take a little cocktail break.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm getting a shot of Fernet too, because fuck it.
Yeah. We're not loose enough.
I feel fine. I don't
know.
We
will be right back. Go ahead and make yourself another hanky panky or have yourself some hanky panky if you're so inclined.
Ooh.
No meth, girl meth. We're doing girl meth now.
We're gonna do girl meth.
Cool. Oh no, this is girl meth. You can't have any. This is girl meth.
No, we're
it's
talking
like,
not. It's not for boys.
Yeah, I'm starting a new show. It's a Breaking Bad spinoff called Girl Meth, and it's like we girl boss
is,
all the way to the top.
These are my drugs.
Drug
I call them girl meth
pin or whatever.
Girl meth. Girl meth.
Girl meth.
Girl meth.
Anyway,
it's just a bowl of olives, and how many can you put in the moon?
I'm gonna do the math, and it's gonna be a really weird post. It's gonna be where we go viral on TikTok, where I'm like, how many olives can you stuff if the moon were made of cheese and meat harvested the moon? That's the best question I've literally ever heard in my life.
So we would it started as a joke one time on Ways of Truth when original Jill Wolf was my co-host. And
okay, so
she, yeah, so okay. she started okay. making a joke okay. being like, oh, like the last questions that we'd ask at the end of every episode.
No, Lan.
Rude. Okay. And she'd be like, oh, if the moon is made of cheese would it be made out of? Like, what cheese would you like to have the moon made out of? And so it just became this like joke, and then it just stuck around for a hot minute, and like it was just so stupid and unnecessary, but like it's
the best.
And so we were making jokes
about
a big
old burrata.
A burrata?
Little liquid was, core.
Would yours be burrata?
No, I think it would have to be blue cheese, especially if it's an olive question.
Oh, I know, like
mine
like,
was feta.
It's not. It's feta. Like the whole thing with like the moon being made of cheese is definitely a thing that predates this. But I remember like
we actually invented.
We invented this question. Thank you very much.
Also, the man in the moon. That was me.
There was
my man's.
And when the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie. Also me.
It's amore.
That's amore, obviously. No, but there was this SNL bit that Will Ferrell did where he played Harry Carey, who was like a renowned like Chicago Cubs baseball announcer.
Yeah.
And he just did this whole thing where he's just like, hey, if the moon was made of cheese, would you eat it? I know I would. Yeah. And that's what I thought you I thought that's where you were going with that.
No. Like this all started because again from the Ways to Truth thing, and then like I had put a thing on my Instagram being like, hey, I'm recording an episode of bottle episode tomorrow, does anybody have any burning bar questions? And of course all I got was like just all my dumb friends asking dumb questions.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so, but actually okay, so just if the moon, you're feta. You're
feta.
You're a feta girl.
Yeah.
Blue cheese would
be second though. So
blue cheese is mine. What is your cheese?
If the moon were made of cheese, are we considering me eating this moon?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. In that case, I think it's got to be.
Free.
I think it's got to be like a really good like sphere of mozzarella.
The biggest mozzarella.
Like
that's just the cheese that you can never get tired of.
I think so. Like, like blue cheese I love, but like I do think that like by a certain point I'd have so much blue cheese that like the funk of it would become
it
the only thing that I
place.
Could taste.
Like you'd gag
and
a little bit.
Yeah, I would just start to kind of gag on it. But like and feta, I think kind of the same. Yeah. Like it's got some funk to
there's
it.
There's like a sharpness about feta.
There's a sharpness
that
about feta.
I think
feta.
A little
but
sour.
Like I think
and
I could
you
just
you could do so many things with feta.
I think I could eat an entire mound of mozzarella.
Mozzarella, never get sick of it. So many things.
Like I think
also
I
like
could
you
just...
could any cheese. This is maybe a controversial take, but like if there's a cheese in anything, I feel like you could sub mozzarella and it would be okay.
I feel the same way about
except
feta.
Maybe like a cannoli. Or like cream cheese frosting.
Well, that's like ricotta, right?
Yeah. I don't think you could do sweet.
I would also eat the moon if it was made of ricotta.
Oh, see, I'm not a huge
ricotta
person.
Mm. But like
I'm
like
a big
mozzarella,
mouthfeel like texture
if it was
person.
A big cannoli.
I would get sick and tired of ricotta and mozzarella too fast because it's just straight mush.
Yeah, not good mozzarella.
Yeah.
Again, like, burrata.
We buy
and
like
same thing with burrata. And don't get me wrong, I do love
sick of burrata.
I would get sick of burrata eventually.
Man.
I would want something to crunch. Eventually.
I mean,
do
okay. This is like if the moon were cheese.
And you're
it's
saying,
not the
you're
only thing
that
you can
feta,
ever eat for the rest of your life.
You're saying that feta has crunch. To
I
it?
Think feta has more of a
oh no, they left
it.
A little bit of shell in this feta.
Who made this?
Someone has
Who
made this feta martini.
They left the shell in the feta.
That moon crust, we love it.
But I feel I don't know, like
although like if the moon were made of baked brie.
Oh man.
Mm. Wait, do I get like something to dip it in?
Strawberry jam.
Yeah.
I get some toasty baguettes or
in
what?
In this scenario, Mars is strawberry jam.
Baked brie in like puff pastry, obviously.
Okay. But still I want something to dip in it.
Yeah.
Can't just have
jam.
Mars is strawberry jam.
I don't know what this
obviously,
is a reference to.
It's not. Oh. I was just saying
it's just red.
It's just like
a red
I like
planet
strawberry jam.
And strawberries are red. get with the fucking program.
Obviously.
I'm not hip and with it, y'all. I'm sorry.
This is like
I'm
literally
trying my best.
This is the most niche conversation. This is a reference.
This is going to be an after hours episode. Like, we're cutting all this out from the main one.
This is just a like
reference.
This is
to
just
very
like our
little girl meth is a reference. But everything else is after. No, you're in your podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really wild how similar this is to our daiquiri episode with Nick. Where
Nick and Nikki.
Yeah, Nikki
the
and
Nick's,
Nick.
Man, they'll come for you and they'll
like, again, murder you. Our Nashville. Is this our first Nashville in person episode?
This is our first Nashville in person episode.
Well, because
this is also our first mobile episode.
It is.
Yeah. Because you've had Nick and you've had Laura.
Laura has not been on the podcast.
Yeah, you have.
No. No, it was Nick, Emily, and John Pete.
And Laura.
Laura has not been on the podcast.
Wait.
Underberg.
Laura Underberg.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry.
Oh,
I was thinking Laura.
Laura
from Old Glory.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, sorry. I meant Underberg. Sorry. Yeah.
Yes. And, Laura Underberg has been on the podcast.
There's been. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm the fifth Nashville guest. Yeah.
Yes, but first
Nick,
in person.
But first in person.
Emily and
first
John Pete,
mobile.
Laura Underberg, and then you.
Yeah, I'm the first in person one. That mm-hmm. I feel special.
Yeah,
thanks,
we
guys.
Like we kind of have. How do you feel about our mobile setup?
I like this. This is fun.
It's nice, right?
We're holding our microphones, yeah. So
which
I
don't love.
I don't love it, but I feel like it's a talk show now.
It's giving a bit of talk show.
It's a bit of talk show vibes.
I'm not mad about it.
I'm not mad about it either.
It makes me feel more famous than I am.
I honestly, okay.
And how do you feel about that?
Oh, wow.
Very good, yeah.
Wow, we're switching mics.
Yeah, I did like a reporter thing.
I do. This makes me want to like use our couch in the office.
Yeah, but
and
we've
then
got
one
such a nice
person
little
sits in the office chair.
And then, and like, because in this past year of doing the second season of Ways of Truth, we've been talking about like, getting it on TikTok or like starting to video it,
yeah,
which is such a feat in itself and like trying to figure that shit out. But like,
yeah.
This is a vibe that I think I would enjoy to do.
Just move to Austin and then you can be our throw host.
Join our arm.
I know we were talking about
co-host.
This beforehand.
Bottle
for episode. I just keep throwing like three in there. So like bottle for episode, you're our throw host.
I'll just pop in every once in a while, come in on an episode, be like, this is my take on it, and I'll make it sexual and weird, and like that's what happens.
If you move to Austin, we have started doing every other episode, it's just us.
Yeah.
So we could be like, bottle episode, it's just us.
It's the threat episode.
It's the threat episode.
It's bottle good. Episode and bottle threat episode. It's two different podcasts, but it's released on the same feed.
Do not tempt me with a good time. Again, I'm telling you, like we were out to dinner earlier and I was like, I'm thinking about moving. Again, we were just talking about how like fun Nashville is, but like, I feel like I want something different. I've been here for almost 12 years now. Holy
Damn.
Shit. That's a long time.
Yeah. I will commit to something right now, right here, right now. And it is big. It is a sacrifice.
What is it?
If you move to Austin and we're our, what were we saying?
A throw host.
I would volunteer to edit all of the podcasts and it would solve a lot of people, 2/3 of our problems.
Solve
and
all of our
I would
problems.
Get one
It'd
more.
All of my
I
problems.
Would get like the 99 problems and then you would get none of them.
We would only have one.
You would have one problem and I would get 99.
This
but
bitch
I would.
Is my now, now my one problem.
I love it.
I like
okay.
Just like
throwing it out there. Heard.
Solving
all right.
Your podcast problems.
All right.
It's on
anyway,
record.
What is your go-to martini
oh,
to drink?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's
order.
Let's get back into like the general
no,
format
sorry,
of the podcast.
No math if the moon were cheese.
I have this effect on people and I'm sorry.
I moved to Austin.
We love it.
That's a big one though. That might be my
that
most
is.
Convincing reason I've ever given anyone to move to Austin.
I am so flattered. All right, keep this in the record.
Okay. You.
Yeah. But you have to also join my
She
podcast.
Doesn't even edit my podcast for me.
Because I have my other podcast, and I'm like, it's only fair if we each
but
have
But she
a
will edit my podcast.
I have edited this she, podcast
once.
Before.
So we're starting a network is what you're
yes.
saying.
Yeah, sure. We'll do it.
Okay, cool.
Let's do
Send
it.
Send in Love your it. Names, your recommendations for podcasts.
Throttle Threpisode.
We'll workshop it.
Wait, what? That's not perfect?
First idea, best idea. Always TM, TM, TM.
See a frozen, get a frozen.
The podcast network.
See a frozen, get a frozen. If we do have a t-shirt, I think
our merch is already so good.
It's just stickers.
We have so many ideas of.
We have one really expensive piece of merch, and it's like a frozen machine.
Damn, that's excessive. I love it.
That's it.
Well, it's $1,000.
No t-shirts. Only true fans.
Only true fans will know to buy this frozen machine.
We don't even have one.
Like, we can't afford this.
We don't have space in our house.
If I had the money, I would pay someone to edit this podcast. But if you can buy one frozen machine for me, we might hire an editor.
If you have the money to buy a frozen machine, you have the money to buy an editor.
Martinis.
Maybe hire one.
Do you have one?
We're getting off track. Okay.
What is your martini order?
If I was to order a martini at a bar. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I feel like it's a little controversial, but we kind of talked about a little bit on our episode. On
I
Waste
love
of
starting
Truth.
Fights.
Yeah.
Same. It would be, I do genuinely love a 50-50 gin martini.
Well, you and I both
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but I feel like a lot of people have.
Yeah.
And we talked about it on ours. But yeah, I want a 50-50 gin martini. With a lemon twist. Fuck a dirty martini.
The most girly pop martini.
Which is so funny to me because I find it so hilarious that I love gin and I love olives. I don't love a dirty martini. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind. I could literally sit here and just like chug olive juice and be fine.
I hate that.
I wouldn't
willingly do it, but like if you like gave me $10 to do it, I'll do it.
Well, downstairs at the bar. Well, because again, like this is my thing about olive brine versus like other brine is like olive brine is like just olives and salt water.
Yeah.
Whereas like pickle brine, all these other kinds of brines
vinegar
have some sort of vinegar element to them.
But you can't eat olives unless you do the juice thing.
Yes.
Whereas you can eat cucumbers.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like downstairs, they have a $10
pickle martini,
like hot dog and pickle martini combo.
Yeah.
Called a weenie and
teeny. Weenie and teeny, which is, I think, so cute.
Adorable.
And mm-hmm. So, of course, I did it last night and I had a little weenie.
How was
teeny.
It?
It was delicious. I mean, like a pickle martini sounds great. But,
in theory, though, because I'm this, I don't know what it is because I'm trying to figure it out because I also am obsessed with pickles. I can't do a pickle martini. What? Maybe I just am too much of an alcoholic that I just need just like the straight liquor.
So Nick.
What? Yeah. Who, me?
You got to come to Austin and I will make you the best Gibson you've ever had.
I love a Gibson.
Do you like a dirty Gibson?
No.
I'll fix
dirty
that.
Dirty Gibson?
Yeah, with like Gibson brine in it.
Oh, Gibson brine.
Yeah.
Well, how good is your Gibson brine? Because I mean, like, I remember like the OG.
Oh, I got you.
And I'll do that all day. But like, I feel like a lot of the times people are just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm particular.
No, like everything like has to be done properly. But
the
like,
other.
I got you.
The other martini that I am obsessed with would be a Gibson.
Okay. So you can indulge in this far more frequently than I can.
Yeah.
Henrietta Red. Have you ever had their seasonal Gibson?
No.
You should go to Henrietta Red.
Okay.
They do a seasonal Gibson. It's like seasonal fruit, typically, that is pickled fruit. They add the pickle brine into the martini.
I'm so intrigued. Yeah. How have I not done this?
Real
like,
good.
That was inspiration for one of my cocktails at the Roosevelt Room that was like was there for like spring, summer of last year.
Shit.
Called the Rephrased Gibson. It was a strawberry... pickled strawberry martini.
That sounds
so fascinating.
With
the pickled strawberry brine
really
in the martini. It was so good. And like...
See, I love that kind of shit.
And then the other day, you ordered a like tomato Gibson.
Yeah. Where was that?
Intero.
Intero, yeah.
Anything besides a pickle or an olive, if any fruit...
Is pickled, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like if you pickle a fruit and make... dirty or whatever of that fruit is so good.
I love all that kind of shit, but I think it's something about just like having the straight brine in it. or like the olive juice in it. I guess I'm just not a fan of. I don't know what I've tried time and time again. I'm just never going to thoroughly enjoy it as much as I would just drinking a martini. But that all sounds so good. And again, I don't know why. I love a savory cocktail. Yeah. I love, I would choose savory over sweet. Same. Any day of the week. And I feel like most of the cocktails that I do create tend to
lean more savory.
Yeah, trend savory. And I just, I don't know. But
I did.
It's the one thing that I just don't understand about myself.
I did also have a dirty Negroni the other day at Murray's.
Oh, yeah. They have like an olive.
And honestly, I'm not.
Is there olive brine or is it olive oil?
I think it was olive brine. And I'm not even a dirty martini girl or really a Negroni girl. But a dirty Negroni kind of was great.
Did it slap?
It sounds... slapped.
Because, like, it slapped.
It slapped.
It slayed. The dirtiness and, like, the salty brininess kind of almost counterbalanced the bitterness. The bitterness?
Yeah, I could see that.
And, like, really did it for me.
I could see that, like, when a lot of people order like a Campari soda and then have like an orange, orange slice or an orange peel, and then like a couple olives in there. Like, I feel like that kind of does the same thing, which I really appreciate.
What was the Aperol spritz with a like orange and olive?
Yeah.
Garnish. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the salty, sweet, bitter. Love it. Anyway, that's a good martini.
It does work well together.
Yeah.
It always will. But it's the good balance of it. Maybe I just haven't had like the right dirty martinis.
I mean, I'm not a fan of dirty martinis. I'm only a fan of like dirty Gibsons. Like olive brine, it has no place in my martini ever.
Yeah, I think so as well. And here we are. But look, what are you going to do? I mean, we just...
Like, statistically speaking, we're wrong.
Yes.
And I'll fully admit that while going to my grave, not loving it.
Mm. Okay, I feel the same way then. Okay, thank you for validating my opinions and my ideas. I feel really well loved in this space.
Speaking of being really validated in your opinions, do you happen to have any pet peeves when you watch TV shows and you see bartending scenes and you're like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Yeah, I know. Okay, so like I knew this thing. I'm sorry, I haven't watched.
If you don't,
I haven't listened to every episode. Of this, so I don't know
what?
How. Phil.
I'm sorry.
I want your take.
I can tell you a couple that like spring to mind immediately. Yeah. I'm sure they're very basic ones at this point, but obviously the walking up to a bar and just being like, oh, I'll get a beer.
And then you're like, what one?
And then the bartender's like, yeah, I got
you.
You
have the one.
And then like not offering money or starting a tab or anything, like the dude just hands you a beer and
then
walks
over to the
away.
Pool table, like
and like that's normal bar etiquette.
Yeah,
and I feel like unfortunately in this day and age, people see that and then they turn 21 and then they come into our bars and they think that's how it works.
They're like, one beer, please.
And I think that's actually like a really solid one that like people do that where they're just like, I'll have a beer. And then, like, I'm just standing there with my thumb up my ass being like,
hello?
Which one?
Like,
we've got a bunch.
Would you like to look at our menu?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's, And so it's just
an
that,
extension?
Like, just over generic delivery of, give me a beer. And then they're like, totally. And then that's the end of the conversation. I think it's hilarious.
I think an extension of that, like, it's one thing if you're, like, European and do that. Like, I think that a lot of like British pubs, you can walk in and be like, I'll have a lager. And it's just like,
well, yeah, they have two beers. They have a dark beer or a light beer. Yeah.
Like, but that's not like how it works here at all.
It's not the American way.
And
we got hella beers.
We got hella beers.
We're American.
We like our brands.
We like our name brand shit.
But I think that like in general, like an extension of the I'll have a beer mentality is like walking up and just assuming that the bar that you're walking into is going to have what you want.
Yeah.
It's like I've experienced it at every bar I've ever worked at. The like, I'll have a Bud Light. We don't have that. Okay. Well, I'll just have a Mick Ultra. We don't have that. I'll have a Miller Light.
Yeah.
We don't have that. And it's just like, and the, like they keep getting in before you can even say, like, they, before you can even be like, if I might refer you to this menu here.
Yeah.
It's just like rattling off every single macro brewery that the U.S. has.
That they know, yeah.
They're just like, they're like, Bud Light, we don't have that. All right, well, I'll have a Mick Ultra. Don't have that. Miller Lite, don't have that. Okay, well, then I'll have a Coors Light, I guess. We don't have that. If I can, and then they're like, well, in that case, I'll have a Busch Light. And it's like, like, no, slow down. Like, just let me. There's a menu right here. We have five beers.
Can you read?
I
My favorite is, yeah. Sorry, no, I'm going to. My favorite is the complete opposite of that, which I get a lot, unfortunately, at Flamingo, because we only have one beer.
So you can just order a beer. So
So if somebody walks up and goes, hey, can I get a beer? I go, here you go. Done and done.
Amazing.
But the opposite that I experience is they go, hey, what beers do you have? And we have one lager and then we have one sour that like nobody orders. But like, unless you're asking for a sour, nobody wants a sour.
Nobody asks for a sour.
So no, I
like
fuck
sours.
Off, I love sours.
No, no, no. But nobody ever like,
but if they're walking up to a bar, they're going to be
sours.
Like, hey, what
I like
sours
but like, but nobody asks for a sour.
And so my dilemma is I say, hey, I'm sorry. We only have one lager. It's like this. Mm-hmm. It's similar to this. And that's it. And that's what I say. And they go, okay, well, I'll just get a Mick Ultra. And then I say the same spiel again. And I go, we only have one lager. It's similar to this kind of beer. And like, that's all we have. And they go, okay, I'll just get a Bud Light. And so then it's like the same conversation over and over again. So I feel like it's the complete opposite.
Interesting.
But like, it's just as annoying and just as frustrating to deal with as you're saying.
Totally.
Yeah.
I'm telling
you
right
like
now,
people
I
not
have
listening.
One option.
Both of those situations, I envy both of the people who have those conversations with you because like to not have the anxiety to just be like, yes,
I'll
yes,
take it.
Please, anything,
right? Uh-huh.
Like, what do you have? Oh, I'm so sorry. Like, what are you even talking
well,
about?
Do you know what the common denominator between these two scenarios is?
White man, 40-year-old,
all,
40 plus.
No, they're not. It's not 40 plus.
No,
it's
okay.
No, it's not 40 plus.
But it is all white men.
White men.
It is all white men.
It is. It has never not been a white man.
Honestly, I could say
like,
the same.
It's been like, and I think it's usually actually like it does sometimes happen with like. Older white men, but it's usually like white men 21 to 33.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Never heard, no one's ever told them no. And if they have, they don't listen.
They're like,
what is that?
They're just dead set on their ways and they will have it no
they
other
are,
way.
They are participation trophy kids that are the first ones to complain about the fact that we were given participation trophies as kids.
Yeah.
They are those kinds of kids where it's just like they'll latch on to like that like conservative propaganda of like, oh, participation trophy, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And then they were the first ones to get that participation trophy and were so ready to get in line for that participation trophy, which I don't know if I've ever talked about it on the podcast before, but like the people that complain about that are like the same people that gave us participation trophies. Like we never
see
asked
it five
for that
times
shit.
Fast.
Honestly, participation trophy. Honestly, the participation trophy to Bud Light Pipeline is
very similar.
Insane.
I feel
but we never asked for those things. Y'all gave them to us.
That's
and
my
now
dad,
you're giving us shit.
Like my
for getting
that
them.
Was
gave
like
us shit
my
about
dad as my softball coach being like you're just like. You're like, you don't even know what it's like participation.
Like, you
trophy.
Gave no, nobody
like,
asked for
I'm
this.
Like, I literally don't want this. I don't,
we
care.
Didn't win a single game. Why are you
like,
giving me a trophy?
I like, I just wanted to make sandcastles, and you yelled at me in the outfield. No one could even hit that far,
dude. That happened to me when I played soccer in elementary school. I was playing with my shadow and like dancing.
Yeah, you're like, I'm gonna braid the grass.
I was
and
like,
they're
I
like,
didn't want to play soccer,
I'm like, I just,
but I'm here.
Yeah.
Here we are.
But yeah.
let me like dance around like a fairy. I don't know. I'm making art out here, sculptures. And then
she's a gifted kid.
And then they're like, participation trophies. And I'm like, I'll have whatever beer you have. I don't know.
That is the thing. Like, it is like
gin and tonic.
Yeah, just go simple. Like, yeah. But I think the other one that I think, now that we're bringing it back to like pet peeves that you have,
yes.
I think it's a little bit of the opposite, like doesn't usually happen in like a full glass thing scenario, but I would say like if people are having a coffee and then they're just like waving their coffee mug around.
The empty mug debacle. Yes.
Always bothered me so much when, like, you're just waving your shit around, but there's substance in that glass. Fucking get better actors. I don't know. Bothered me.
Yeah. Fill it with water.
Fill it with water so at least feels like something. So
which,
like,
I guess it's messy, but like fill it with like marbles.
Whatever it
takes. Sand.
You ruined the take because you spilled marbles everywhere.
I've lost
Pedro
my
Pascal.
Marbles.
Pedro would never.
Pedro Pascal, you ruined this take. The Last of Us season 2 is ruined.
Pedro would
the
never.
Mandalorian would never do this.
That is my baby boy. You leave him alone.
Wait, I was like, what has he done? I'm ready to defend him. I'm like, what did he do?
I thought about the I feel like I just was like, what's the actor who's least likely to do this?
Okay. I was like, who is the most baby girl? Like, everyone would be like, no.
It's Pedro.
Pedro.
Everybody loves Pedro.
We do.
So nice.
That was definitely the other one. I'm trying to think of, like, I know you've touched on some other ones. Oh man, like,
if you don't have anything
else, watch TV.
That's okay. We got more stuff to cover.
We do.
What other actors would we defend with our lives?
Pedro's my only one.
Pedro. I don't know.
I would do bad things to him.
Can I do the intro for this next session?
Sure.
Bar hacks.
Whoa, the budget is crazy. A monster truck.
Fireworks. Wow.
Through our room.
I am so scared.
A hologram of Freddie Mercury. Wow.
A bald eagle.
Bald eagle.
We've spent so sitting much money on pyrotechnics.
Sitting on the hologram of Freddie Mercury.
Hot.
Is the bald eagle driving
the monster truck?
What? Okay. America.
50 bald eagles.
What's your bar hack?
America. Wait, what?
Sorry, I don't know.
Bar hacks.
Okay, so bar hacks.
Bar hacks, just like, what are you like? Cutting a corner, but not really. I'm just smarter than you.
Anything you got where it's just like something that's like makes your job easier, or something that, like, in a pinch as a home bartender.
I feel like those are two different things.
Well, exactly. That's why it's two different categories.
Both.
Two different categories. I think bar hacks as like, As a home bartender, what is something that in a pinch you can do to make your life easier, or if you don't have a specific tool that you might need, you can do?
Yeah.
Like, gotcha.
For example, Nick Dolan said, you can just microwave simple syrup.
In a mason jar.
What?
Yeah.
In a mug?
You don't have
to boil it. You just put hot water and sugar and it'll do it.
It'll just go.
Or as a bartender, like, my big one is like adding crushed ice to an egg white cocktail and just shaking that until it's all gone, and then that saves you from dry shaking.
Gotcha.
So do you have a bar hack of any variety?
I don't know how much of a bar hack as it is like just like things that just help you in the future. And these might be like just super basic ones, but or just when it comes to like high volume stuff.
This is like our second time talking about this. So let us know.
Like, just clean up after yourself. It sounds like the most remedial and basic thing ever, but when I tell you, it can make or break a fucking shift.
Totally, yeah.
And especially if you're like, it's one thing if like you're working in your own well or doing whatever, but like, it just.
May I expound?
Yeah.
Like, not only clean up after yourself, but clean as you go.
Clean as you go. Like, I can be shaking a cocktail and cleaning a tin
at
the same time. You have two hands for a reason.
And that's the thing.
Not to make it sexual, but you got two hands for a reason.
If you have nothing else to do with your other hand, shake with two hands. Give that cocktail the extra oomph that it deserves. But if you have anything else to do with that other hand,
fucking do it.
Do it. Yeah. Anything. Like, grab a beer. Grab the glass that you need. Like, grab the glass out of the freezer or the fridge or whatever. Do something with your other hand.
Bartenders are the most ambidextrous people I know.
Yeah.
And we love that. And that's why I've unfortunately only exclusively dated bartenders.
We're pretty good with our offhands.
So like, and but like, it really does fucking help just make your shift go by so much smoother and easier. And like, and you just feel like you're still moving and getting stuff done, and you look just like, yeah. Especially to guests too. Like, you are just constantly moving and on your shit, and they see that and they appreciate that. I just like, yeah, constantly just use both hands, man.
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
Oh, fuck. And then the other one, I think for like at home stuff, I would say like, I don't know, just always have like the basics on hand.
What are the basics for you?
I don't know. The basics for me would just be like, I don't know, beer and a shot. Something that you want to shoot.
Like,
and something that you want to sip. And
yeah.
And that's all you need. Like, I'm not a huge entertainer when it comes to home, which I always think is really funny because like obviously I drink. I enjoy drinking. I love going out. I love going out after work. I love drinking at work. Don't judge me. It's fine. We're allowed to do that.
How
it's cool.
Dare you?
Embarrassing. It's fine. But like, and so
in our own home.
And so, but like, my thing is like, the one thing that I don't do is drink at home, which I feel like is very odd for a lot of people, but I'm a social drinker. I live alone. And so if it's just me and my cat hanging out, like, I don't drink.
I think that's good.
I think it's a nice balance. Mm-hmm. If anything, if I'm like cooking myself a nice dinner or something, like I'll crack open I'll just drink a glass of wine or something, but it's like nothing crazy. But always have the necessary things on hand. Like, if people do come over, I'm a big glassware collector. Like, I thrift a lot of my glassware.
Like,
I have the things to like entertain people. Yeah. And so if people do come over, I have the means. But like, literally, I've had alcohol sitting on my bar cart and like in my thing for years at this point, because I just, I haven't opened them. I haven't touched them. I don't do that shit at home, but I have the means to have it.
You're ready to go.
So if I want to entertain, I can. But have your basics at home. Like, if you're running through your house for a second and just want to like rip a quick shot before you go out on that date that you're a little nervous about.
You got to have something on hand to do that shot.
Because I've done that before. Those are the only times that I ever do drink at home when I'm by myself. So if I'm like,
cutie little pregame.
Oh my God. A cutie little pregame.
Yeah.
We love those. But I don't know. I'm trying to think of like an actual bar hack for your house.
That's, if you don't have anything,
it's
that's
okay.
Fine.
That's good.
I feel like the second we're going to end this, I'm going to think of like five.
Just like have a beer in a bottle at your house.
Yeah.
And you're good.
In a pinch.
In a pinch.
Yeah. I've had this case of beer in my fridge for like a solid 2 months and I haven't even opened it.
I'm proud of you. I feel like I feel like we entertain and then we have people over and they all bring beer. And then I'm like, I have to drink all this beer.
We got to
get rid of it somehow.
No, I don't know. Like, again,
it's dry January once I finish all the like holiday beer people brought over.
Then it becomes dry January.
And then I'm like, wait, it's February.
Cool.
And I think that's any questions? It. But we talked so much and we did girl math.
We've talked so much.
Math,
we've done girl math, boy math, dumb math, bar math. I don't think we have any solid questions. So I think
we've answered all of our questions.
We've answered everyone's questions.
I've bored them enough. We should leave.
Everyone, all of our listeners are geniuses now.
They've learned
You're
so
all
much
so
this episode.
Smart. The Just, next one is if you can tell me my question for you. Is you do your math on how many olives you could stuff with the moon? And I'll do mine.
And then we'll all compare.
And we'll compare our answers. That's what I'm excited for. And Lana's texting.
Just like a throwing it
I'm
out
giving
there.
Some
how many
very
olives do you
significant
think?
Information to our cat sitter.
Okay, fair. How long would it take to grow the olives?
What?
How long would it take?
I thought we're trying to fill a moon with olives.
No, we're stuffing olives with the moon.
Oh.
Because it's cheese. If
oh,
we
damn.
Want it to be. In our dream scenario.
We have so many options in this situation. Like, how big are the olives?
Yeah.
What kind of cheese is
average,
it? Is it more malleable or is it like?
I'm like going with your like standard green olive. How many standard green olives can you stuff?
How many Castle Vetrano olives
with the moon if it was blue cheese? How many years would it take to grow said Casapetrano olives?
Castle potato olives. As we do that math, we will let you
leave
guys
you
go.
Follow what's your podcast? Drunk.
So my
drunk
Wasted Truth.
So Drunk Veracity.
So my podcast, it's called Wasted Truth Pod. You can find it on anywhere you'd find a podcast.
It's great.
Can you imagine if you had a podcast called Sober Lies?
Well, when we start
sister
our
podcast.
That's our sister podcast.
That's
with our sober
one.
Friends. Got it. Very
cool. Two truths and a lie.
And then you could follow me at Nicolette K, spelled N-I-K-O-L-E-T-T-E-K.
Amazing. Listen to my podcast, World is Burning. We're on a hiatus, but we have over 80 episodes, so there's lots to listen to. And
you can listen to more of this.
If you want to after this episode, Dan. If you've made it this far, I am proud of you.
Yeah.
And come to Daydreamer and give us 5 stars.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening.
Sorry.
We're so sorry.
You're our guilty pleasure.
We are so sorry.
Thank you.
Oh, man, I didn't finish my drink.
Wow. I almost...
I killed mine like halfway through.
Yeah.